When you are.
I call to order the Madison Plains Board of Education meeting. Roll call, please.
Mrs. Zinnikus?
Here.
Mrs. Cooley?
Here.
Mr. Mason?
Here.
Ms. Reinchel?
Here.
Mr. Stone Rock?
Here.
Mr. Eisner and I are also here.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Okay, we will go to public communication. We do not have anybody signed up, but we do have the MP Levy Committee that would like to present to everybody.
So, Madam President, members of the board, would like to introduce to you Mrs. Kathleen Maddett. She is a member of the Levy Committee, and so she is here to speak to us tonight about what the plan is for the campaign. And I would like to thank Mrs. Maddett for taking the time out of her busy schedule to be here. So thank you.
Thank you for having me. Pinch hitting, obviously, tonight for the Levy Committee Chair. It's not quite the bottom of the ninth, but we're getting there. And I want to talk to you about some of the high points of the Levy Committee's plan for success, the plan to win in November. It's really a multi-pronged approach. It's going to continue the public communication that we started in the spring, the outreach, the in-person events. Additionally, there's a print media strategy as part of the campaign, and finally a request for donations, obviously, to have a well-funded campaign. Really, what we're doing is to continue the discourse in the district on the need to continue to the levy with the levy to stabilize the district's finances so we can do some long-term planning. Really talking with the public about just trying to keep a good thing going, and this is the way to do it. We have a number of events that the committee has attended this summer and will continue to attend in the fall. And as we move forward into a very active fall season, particularly centered around community events and a large portion of attending home football games for both the high school program as well as the youth program, and that way we can hit a lot of voters and talk to them one-on-one about the importance of passing the levy. So we've been very encouraged by some of the early events. Last night's open house, I think, was highly successful. Pleased with the turnout and the number of individuals that came forward to talk about the levy and volunteer. Again, I mentioned the high school football games and events, some community events like the homecoming parades that will happen in Lily Chapel, some events in Mount Sterling coming up this weekend and beyond, and then as we move forward into the fall, other events that we can attend that come up as scheduling arises in local communities throughout the district. We do have a fairly robust print media communications campaign. It will really leverage the media and print we used in the spring, many of the yard signs, the mailers. Additionally, we are asking for an all-community newsletter from the district to go out. We're still talking about the date for that, but probably align that with the start of early voting, I think makes sense. And then using funds that we receive and donations to do another mailer probably later into the season, probably somewhere in late October. Obviously, we'll be attending Board of Education meetings and trying to reach out to the community through this forum and some prints with the Madison Messenger. I've mentioned the yard signs, community meetings, and obviously word of mouth or social media is extremely important. Finally, we have been seeking donations from a number of corporations, small and large businesses located in the district and connected to the district. I mentioned earlier, any successful campaign is well-funded. And really the message to the small and larger businesses is that a well-financed school district leads to well-educated children, which leads to a healthy economy for our community. So it's all circular, and it makes sense to request to donate to the campaign so that we can do those things we talked about, like mailers. We do have one donor that's willing to match donations received up to $5,000. And so, again, that's a very generous offer, and we want to take full advantage of that. This is really the highlights. I'm happy to follow up in writing with any questions or communications you might have, or defer them, obviously, to the Levy Committee Chair. But if there's no questions.
Thank you.
Question, I just want to say thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Obviously, volunteers are always welcome. So we'll use this as the pitch for more volunteers, and again, all the events that we can attend. Volunteers are always welcome. We don't want to burn out those that helped in the spring and want to add to our ranks.
Are you guys having a meeting tomorrow night?
I believe so.
Yeah.
Okay. You know what time?
Seven in here.
Maybe good.
Yeah, maybe you want to repeat that.
A Levy Committee meeting tomorrow night here at 7 p.m., so that would be the 18th, 7 p.m.
Great. All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mrs. Madden.
Okay. Board work session. Anybody have anything? Okay. Moving to approval of board minutes, please.
Madam President, I make a motion that the minutes of the July 20th and August 11th, 2021 meetings be approved as written.
Second.
Discussion? Roll call, please.
Well, I do want to have a quick discussion. We had a great meeting last week, but we didn't record it correctly, so it didn't get posted, but it was really good, and we had Chris Cook here from the Health Department, and Madison County Health Department, and I thought it was good dialogue. We got to ask him a lot of questions, so we could, I don't know, I felt a lot more informed about what the variants are out there, or what the directions are from the local health department. So I thought that was good dialogue for us. I'd like to see us continue it, and I'm not trying to pitch for that. I just think that was really a great meeting.
I'll just add that though we don't have the Facebook Live, we do have the audio recorded for that meeting that will be posted to our website, like our other audio recordings of the meeting.
Okay.
So you have multiple ways of recording the meetings every meeting, and so if anybody wants to hear that dialogue,
I think it's just good information to have, right? I mean, people are all on different sides of the masking. We talked about that and numbers, and I think those are conversations that we should have with concerned parents and talk through those things. I think it's really was really good to have him here. Okay, sorry.
You're good. Roll call, please.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Ms. Reinschel?
Yes.
Mr. Stone Rock?
Abstain, as I wasn't here on the 11th.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
And Mrs. Zanikas?
Yes.
Motion carries 4-0.
Okay, moving to no student recognition for this month, but we do have employee recognition.
We do, and I would like to ask the members of the custodial and maintenance staff that are here if they would come on up and stand. So Mr. Garrett and Mr. Curry, and I don't know if anybody else is over there at this point, but certainly want to thank these gentlemen for everything that they have done. Mr. Garrett leads both the custodial and the maintenance teams, and they have done a very nice job for us, always do. But this year, getting ready has of course been a challenge, as has most other things in the past year and a half. And so when we had mentioned that we wanted to have employee recognition this month at the board meeting and start those back up as we were beginning the new school year, asked for nominations, and Mr. Garrett nominated the maintenance and custodial department, and this is what he wrote. On behalf of Madison Plains and myself, I would like to nominate both custodial and maintenance teams for the employee recognition this month. Both departments have worked tirelessly this summer to prepare the buildings for the upcoming school year. This past year, both groups have seen some changes in personnel. Dick Phillips and Sam Stiers left us earlier in 2021. Both of these gentlemen were some of our most knowledgeable people on staff in their respective areas. With their absence, Darian Pollard and Kevin Daniels joined us last school year. These men were brought into our district during one of our most difficult and taxing years to date, where disinfection and cleanliness of the building were of the utmost importance due to the COVID-19 pandemic. With that same breath, I'm not able to thank Jerry Lewis, Terry Curry, Herbie Bowser, Pete Sullivan, and Josh Zimmerman enough in helping train and guide the newer employees and showing them how to be successful in their careers here at Madison Plains. This group of guys are the backbone of the district. The custodial and maintenance teams are faced with cleaning, waxing, disinfecting, and maintaining 171,000 square feet of building nightly, along with the landscaping of nearly 55 acres. I'm so thankful for their flexibility to change plans and switch gears, sometimes daily, depending on the circumstances and weather. Thank you for your willingness to learn and adapt to new procedures, as well as moving and removing, at times, the better part of 4 school buildings worth of furniture this past year. I know this group of individuals will continue to provide this community with the safest, cleanest, and most comfortable facilities that we can offer. In closing, I would like to say thank you again to Jerry Lewis, Terry Curry, Herbie Bowser, Pete Sullivan, Josh Zimmerman, Kevin Daniels, and Darian Pollard for their efforts this past year, and a special thanks to Parker Sullivan and Joe Grigsby for their help this summer as well. I would like to welcome Parrish Bonnet, who recently joined the MP custodial team. Thank you, Brian Garrett. And I would just like to, first of all, I want to thank Mr. Garrett for the wonderful nomination that he provided and that he wrote. And thank him for his leadership of these two departments. And I too want to echo what Mr. Garrett said and thank these men for the contribution that they make. Every single role here is important in the district. We need everybody rowing in the same direction. And the custodial and maintenance staffs do a wonderful job in making sure that these buildings are clean and safe and ready for our students and our staff. And I'm very appreciative of the hard work that they do. I've had members of my family who have served in that capacity. And when I was a younger man, making my way through college, I served for a little while in a maintenance department in a school as well. And I'm grateful for everything that you guys do. So thank you very much. Certainly appreciate it. Keep up the great work. But thank you. We appreciate you. Yes.
Thank you, gentlemen, for
thank
everything
you very
do.
Much.
Okay. We will move to department reports.
And Madam President, Madam Vice President, I do not see her, but she might be tucked back there around the corner. Is Kim Rogers here?
Did I see her walk down the hallway? She's right.
Okay.
Didn't want to walk in and interrupt.
That's fine.
Good evening.
So, thank you. So, ladies and gentlemen of the board, Kim Rogers, our transportation supervisor. Thank you, Ms. Rogers, for taking the time to be with us this evening. I have asked Ms. Rogers to provide a brief update for us on the transportation department. Thank you.
Good evening. I'd like to thank Mr. Eisler for inviting me this evening. And I'm here to give you, as he said, a brief overview of our transportation department. I'm happy to report that transportation is on track for a successful startup, which is a direct reflection of the quality of the entire transportation team, secretaries to school, who are wonderful about taking messages and helping me keep track. So we are currently operating 17 routes. They're regular ed routes and 2 special needs routes. As you're all aware, we are currently suffering a nationwide driver shortage. It also includes bus drivers. Right now we're currently 4 drivers short. We currently have 2 routes doubled up, and both myself and the mechanic are driving routes, both morning and in the afternoon. We do have 1 new driver that we got trained last spring. I have another one who is in training. She is working to pass the written CDL test so we can get her behind the wheel, which is definitely a push in the right direction. So in order to operate fully staffed, we would need to hire 3 more drivers, and that would only allow us to cover our current routes. It would not accommodate any further growth in the district or allow for route coverage for field trips that occur during route times or driver absences. We have made great strides over the last 3 few years purchasing buses. We will need to continue in that trend. We currently have 5 buses in our fleet that are older buses. They have high mileage, a lot of body damage, and a lot of body wear on them. The older buses are costing us more to maintain in both mechanical repairs and body repairs. And it is a challenge every year to get them through inspection. Moving forward, we need to continue to recruit, hire, and train drivers, along with continuing our current bus purchase plan of at least 2 per year to help alleviate the roadblocks that to success that we are currently facing. On a positive note, our 2 new buses that we ordered last year should be here, I'm thinking probably the last of September, 1st of October. So it'd just be a matter of getting them inspected so we can get them in service. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions for Ms. Rogers?
So do we have 2 more that we're ordering this year? Is it?
We ordered them in the spring, and they're set to arrive September, October.
But yes, we order at the end of the year, yes. So we can have them for the following
right. So this year we're going to order 2 more?
Right. So we'll order them this year, 2 more, towards okay. the end of the year, and when those come in at the beginning of next school year is when they go in service. So we're trying to place 2 new buses in operation every year. And with a fleet of 19 routes, you can imagine, yeah. even if we continue on with that rotation, that the oldest bus will be 10 years old.
Yeah. Well, she said 5, right? So.
No, I said we have 5 that are older and higher yeah. mileage. Those are the ones that we typically have issues getting through inspection. The lines they put down on the road in the winter, the ice, it takes nothing to just eat the bodies away and stuff.
Sure.
More times than not, mechanically, they will be sound and last longer than what the undercarriage and stuff will be. I've been doing this a long time. I've worked the last location I was at, we had a lift, and you could put the bus up on the lift and just walk under it and hit the lines of the bus, the rails and stuff, and they would just pick apart. It doesn't really take anything at all for them to start deteriorating.
If we get where our goal is, which is 2 new buses every year, and we keep that rotation, again, our oldest bus will be 10 years old when we're turning it over, which is at the high end where the state says we should be, but much better than where we've been in the past.
Correct.
And our PI levy is what's solely responsible for the purchase of those buses. So next year when we're up for the renewal of the PI levy, that's why it's important. That PI levy funds the buses in our district. And in a district of our size, with the number of routes we have, it's extremely important.
And we're growing. We are currently transporting over 1,000 students to and from school every day. So when you take into account the number of students, the new development that's happening in Mount Sterling right now, Wingate and Magosa Court almost make up a full bus. So I guess when they start actually building houses down there and turn them over and start selling them, at some point we may end up being at an entire, just one bus to cover Wingate and Magosa Court, and it may spill over to 1.5 buses, depending.
Just to give you some perspective on the cost, a new bus costs approximately $90,000.
Right.
So our goal of 2 buses a year is approximately $180,000 that we're spending just on 2 new buses. Our PI levy generates approximately $350,000 a year. So it's roughly half of our PI budget goes to that bus fee, which it should in a
yeah.
district like ours.
Right.
Any other questions?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Have a good evening.
You too.
Thank you, Ms. Rogers. Appreciate the time. And Madam President, if you don't mind, just for those who were here for some of the early reports, if any of you would like to be dismissed, you don't need to stay for the entire meeting. You are welcome to go home. Some of you have an early start time in the morning. And if you would like to head out, you certainly will not offend us. So thank you for coming, though. Appreciate it. And yes. Have a wonderful evening. We're welcome to stay, but you don't have to. So,
right before the treasurer's report.
All right. Why is that every time?
So no superintendent committee reports, so we will move straight to the treasurer's report.
Thank you, Mrs. Lucas. The financial statements are attached to the agenda. We do have a new spending plan to start the 2022 school year, so I'll briefly touch on that. Again, that's my appropriations, I'm sorry. That's all right. financial statements, the spending plan. Again, very small until I zoom in. But you can see we only have data for July right now. The rest is our projections. And just so you know, again, we build our projections off of what actually came in and when it came in last year. So if we got 20% of our tax receipts last year in July, we project to receive 20% in this July.
Yeah.
So that's how we build our projections for our monthly spending plan. I do want to point out, because I've been talking about it, that tax receipt, that advance that we typically get one of those in July, and we got it in June on June 30th, so right at the end of the month. You see, typically we would expect to collect $1.2 million here in July on that top line. In property tax, we collected $779,000.
Oh.
That's not due to decreased valuations or decreased collections. That's a timing issue.
Yeah.
But it highlights that timing issue. So you see that there. Moving on, I'll just show where we have our ending cash balance projected. Because that's been updated, you see, get down to it. Right here's our cash projections. Right now we ended July with $5.4 million, which is really good. Appreciate that. That's the income tax collections coming in as they should and doing its job. You see our low points that we watch in December, January. Now instead of those being $1 million or less, we're at $2.6 and $2.4 million respectively there in December and January. So that's a much better position. But again, the income tax is what allows us to have that better position there and not have to borrow money throughout the year. We project to end the year with $4.6 million right now. That could go up slightly or down depending on where we come in on our budgeted estimates, because we always try to budget somewhat conservative and hope to come in under budget. And then we also hope to come in over budget when it comes to revenues, that we collect more than what we anticipate. Nothing crazy, but always within, you know, 2 or 3%, you know, which on a $16 million budget of revenue and expenditures, 2 and 3% can make a difference.
Sure.
So that can change. But again, we should end in a much better place. The black line here is where we project to end. All these other lines are previous years. So we're projecting to be better off than what we have been in previous years.
Can you go back up to that first slide that you have at the top of there? Mm-hmm. In the income tax portion of it?
Yeah.
So $162,000 above, any thoughts on, is it just generating more money than we anticipated?
Again, we kind of learn along the way with the income tax, and we've only had one full year of full collection under our belts. So it could be a timing thing of when people are paying their quarterly taxes. They're expected now, say last year, they just got acclimated to paying those and now they're paying them more regularly or in advance.
Right.
Could be that. It could be growth in the district. It could be people returning to work.
Had we factored in less growth related to COVID, if I remember that correctly?
Yeah,
are we still doing that?
If you remember, I didn't see that.
Right.
I shouldn't say that. We factor in less than what we anticipated, but the growth is still there. So we saw growth, but it could be less than what it would have been. But not having the 5 years of history on the income tax, it's kind of hard to tell what a normal year looks like for us, because our first normal year was under COVID. So our first year of full collection was under COVID. So again, we're still learning on the timing of those collections, but what we're learning is good right now. We're above where we thought we would be on those collections, which is good. We're still within the estimates from the Ohio Department of Taxation, which is required when you place a renewal on the ballot. So that's what's important. We're not overestimating or trying to think that, or underestimating grossly to try to drive the need for the levy or anything like that. We're going with those estimates from the Ohio Department of Taxation.
Right, and I'm glad you basically mentioned it, footstomped it again, because that without that income tax levy,
a lot goes away.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, so I think it's every chance we get to mention that, this highlights the importance of
that. That income tax makes up approximately 15% of our budget on a $16 million budget, just to put that into perspective. So most people can't absorb a 15% decline in something like that. It's very difficult.
But the quality of our services would drastically.
They would be impacted, I would say, yes, one way or another. But so to, while I'm up here, I will just show, because we do have our permanent appropriations on for your approval. Those permanent appropriations are in line with our last five-year forecast, so which is the May 2021 five-year forecast. That's what's listed here. You see our budgeted amounts align perfectly right now with those five-year forecast amounts. So the permanent appropriations that you have to approve on the revenues or on the expenditure side are directly related to that current five-year forecast. The revenue side has also been projected in the district based on that five-year forecast. However, there's going to be some adjustment there. Right now, we're going with as the state funding is currently. In October, that will change when we start collecting. They start sending out the payments based on the new state fair school funding plan. And that's where students are funded where they are. We no longer collect open enrollment payments, and we no longer disperse open enrollment payments. So for our kids that are residents in our district that attend elsewhere, normally that money would come to Madison Plains, and then it would flow out to those other districts through us. So we would show then an expense. So in our district, you see over $1 million of an expense for open enrollment payments going out to other districts. On the other end of that, you see over $600,000 of open enrollment payments coming in. Those will both go away.
This year.
Those payments will go away. So the net funding will increase slightly for us. So the net result will increase approximately $150,000, I believe, on the state funding. But you will see our expenditures go down and our revenue go down because of that in and out of the open enrollment payments. So it's going to throw the modeling off, and a lot of these things that you're used to seeing where we're within a certain percentage, and it's going to look a lot different once that starts to be collected in October. So on the November forecast, we'll have that update and that accounted for. And so you'll see that update in the spending plan then. But right now I'm going with what I know. And right, what I know is those state foundation payments, the school foundation payments that are coming in reflect open enrollments in and out still. So we'll adjust when they adjust.
That's good.
That's the easiest way to put that. But we know it's coming. I think that's it for the financial reports and the new spending plan. And then the next thing I will have for you will be the updated permanent improvement or permanent appropriations. I was on the PI track there for that permanent improvements.
Sorry, got you off track.
Different permanent appropriations are before you to approve. And I'll just kind of show you here. Those now include a few things that weren't on the temporary appropriations, mainly being we have student activity budgets that have been received and budgeted for now, so the student advisors can start, FFA is a big one, they can start to draw down on their budgets for those expenses. And we also have our grants budgeted for now, including our IDEA, Title I, and some other ones there. Our general fund, again, just aligns right with our five-year forecast for the expected amount of 2022. So that's $16,345,000. So these can be adjusted and likely will be adjusted. Again, the open enrollment will be $1 million, you know, that we will reduce that general fund amount by when that takes effect approximately. So that's going to be a big change. But just to kind of start to prepare people to see that, it's going to come. And I'll try to explain it as best I can when it happens. We'll just do an amended appropriations at that time. So. And if there aren't any questions, that concludes my treasurer's report.
Madam President, I make a motion upon recommendation of the treasurer for approved financial items I-4 and I-5.
Second.
Discussion. Roll call, please.
Mr. Stonerock?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Ms. Reinschel?
Yes.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mrs. Zanikas?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Okay, we'll move to the superintendent's report.
Thank you, Madam President. I have a couple of items for just as discussion items for the evening tonight. And one of them, I wanted to go back. I know we touched on this when we had our meeting last week where we talked about the COVID protocols. But unfortunately, as has been mentioned, I know that meeting was recorded audibly, the audio portion, but we were not able to get the meeting on Facebook the way we had wanted to and hoped to. So just want to go back and touch on a few things with regard to the COVID protocols that I'm asking the board to approve. Obviously, throughout the summer, and as we have gotten more into the weeks leading up to the start of the school year, there has been a very deliberate effort to be able to seek out guidance about how to move forward with regard to bringing students and staff back to school. I have been in contact with legal counsel on a frequent basis, and I have been in contact with other area superintendents, both in the county and those with superintendents who neighbor us outside of the county. Just talking to them about what it is that they are doing, what their plans are to come back to school, to make sure that I am gathering information so that I can make a wise choice for the students and staff of the Madison Plains Local School District. As I have done that, I've also been reading information that has been coming from the state and paying attention to what the Centers for Disease Control has to say, what the Ohio Department of Health has to say, and have been reading opinions from other legal firms as well. And so the net result of all of that is really the document that is before the board here this evening. And that is simply the COVID protocols that we will that I'm asking the board to approve. It is my recommendation that you approve for the 2021-2022 school year. Obviously, if things need to change, we can do that. There is a possibility that that could happen, but we are hoping that it won't. We are hoping for a smooth school year. We are hopeful that when the kids come back tomorrow, that we will have a great start and that it'll be smooth sailing, and eventually the COVID pandemic will be a thing of the past. That is what we are really hoping for. The realist in me is also watching the news and is aware that there is concern about the Delta variant, and there is also discussion happening at this point in time about the Gamma variant and the Epsilon variant that are coming after that. So we will see where this goes. We don't know. I had some thoughts on how last year might go, and we had some conversation with some colleagues, and fortunately some of the things that we thought would happen did not. Some of the things we thought would happen did, or thought could happen did, but so we're not sure. At this point we can't fully predict how this pandemic is going to evolve. And so these are here, they are able to be changed if we need to, and tweaked and modified. So that is good news. But to just kind of provide a little bit of a synopsis, face coverings are currently encouraged but not required in campus, in the campus buildings and on campus grounds. For those staff members and those students who want to wear face masks, they are welcome to do so. We do encourage it, but certainly for those who do not want to, they don't have to. And so the idea of personal choice, individual responsibility, civic choice is there for our community members, our students, our staff who want to be able to exercise that. The one piece that is required at this point in time with regard to masking, and this is because of a mandate from the CDC, and we have been told from legal counsel that this is what we really need to do, on buses, on school transportation, masks are required for both staff and for students. And so that is something that is being done by school districts around us. As I mentioned earlier, I've had conversation with other superintendents, and again with legal counsel, and not just our own legal counsel for the district, but I've read opinions from others. The ESC works with a different legal firm, and I've read the opinions that they have sent, and again, this is something that we are being told has to be done. And so face coverings on buses are required. There have been people who have said, well, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense to require them on buses and not in classrooms. I understand, but we are working to do the very best we can to abide by the rules and regulations that we have been given and still allow for individual freedom where it is possible. So that's why that is the way that it is. Quarantines are still included in the guidelines. That is something that we have been advised is something that we need to do. And so with regard to that, that is the way things will currently work. There is some language being debated at this point in time about this right now, and if things change, I will certainly let the board know, and we'll let the community know. But as things currently stand, if a student is wearing a mask and they are exposed, provided that necessary distancing and things have been in place, they do not have to quarantine. But if a student who was exposed was not wearing a mask, they are not able to break quarantine. And that is an important distinction, I think, that our parents and our guardians need to understand. So that masking piece is very important with that idea of breaking quarantine. There is a possibility in what is being discussed, because there has been some discrepancy between what has been written by some of the various health authorities. There is some debate going on whether or not both the confirmed case and the person who was exposed will need to quarantine if the case was not wearing a mask. Right now, the way the guidance is written is that the person who was exposed was wearing a mask, they can break quarantine to come to school if they were exposed in school, in class. But there is some thought that perhaps if the case was not wearing a mask, the person who was exposed may still have to quarantine. We will see how that plays out. I don't know the answer to that at just this particular point in time. We are waiting to see. So quarantines will still be a part of what we do. Physical distancing is still something that we are going to work to achieve to the best of our ability within the parameters of the physical infrastructure that we have. Our buildings, as I've mentioned, they are old and some of the classrooms are small. And when you bring everybody back like we are endeavoring to do, we cannot promise that we will be able to keep everybody 3 to 6 feet apart all the time. But we are going to do the best we can, and obviously the cafeteria at lunch is a major challenge to that idea. So that is something that we are going to work to do the best we can with. Full-time virtual learning. The state has changed the rules of engagement for us with regard to full-time virtual learning. The idea of remote learning that we had last year has not been renewed by the state legislature. And so what they have done is they have given us some language around online learning. This was something that was passed in the budget bill that was signed into law in July by the governor, and on July 1. And so school districts have been working to try to figure out what that looks like. Many districts have chosen not to do any form of online learning. They have chosen that this is not something that they want to continue to do. They recognize that it is best to have students in classrooms, and I certainly do understand that. We are trying to be able to offer this as an option for some students and staff members who would like it. However, we are running up against a few challenges with the new rules and regulations, and so we will see how that goes, but we're working to do the very best that we can with that. Contingency plans, if a school closure is needed, we will work to comply with what is ordered, whether that's a hybrid approach or whether that is some form of fully remote learning. But at this point in time, we're not expecting that. We're hoping that does not occur. And then just some other prevention strategies are written in here. Daily self-monitoring by students and staff. Cleaning and disinfecting will continue. Food service will continue to do things the way that they have done. And of course, students have the opportunity to get all of their breakfasts and their lunches here at school for free because of language that the USDA has approved. Transportation, we will do the best that we can. Obviously, we cannot guarantee with our driver shortage that we'll be able to keep 2 students per seat, but we will do what we can there. And then extracurricular and athletics, our fans, will, as things stand right now, our fans are able to return to the games this year, and so we are very, very pleased about that. And then finally, the last thing that is in here is just some general language, as the board always does in January at the organizational meeting, just some language that allows me the flexibility to do what is best for students and staff. If I need to make a change to this, I can do so, but we'll then bring that, anything significant, we'll bring back to the board for a ratification at the next regularly scheduled board meeting. Those are the protocols that we have in place. And as I mentioned in the bottom of the letter that I sent to our parents and guardians, it is our hope that we'll be able to remain open at 100% capacity 5 days a week for the duration of the school year. That is certainly the goal and the hope that we have. We will see how it plays out.
Okay. So, thank you.
You're welcome. Any questions? Okay. The next item on the agenda for in terms of discussion items, just wanted to take a minute. We've mentioned this before briefly in some other meetings, but just wanted to mention this year we have the happy occasion to be celebrating the 50th anniversary of our first graduating class from Madison Plains High School. The first graduating class walked across the stage and received their diplomas in the spring of 1972. And so as we get to commencement in 2022, it will be 22 years, or excuse me, it'll be 2022. It will have been 50 years since the first graduating class. And so just a little bit of fast facts here, and I want to thank Karen Grigsby for putting this together for us. The Madison Plains Local School District was formed by combining the Madison South District and the Plains District. Administratively, this occurred in 1968, but the two districts continued to use their own names, schools, mascots, teachers, and classes until the 1971-1972 school year. The class of 72 were the first graduates of Madison Plains High School after the merger of the two districts was completed. This year, we celebrate the 50th anniversary of the completion of the merger of the two districts. And so there at the top of this page, you see some of the artwork that we are putting together. And I need to thank Mr. Mustine and Ms. Grigsby and Ms. LeGault for their work on this. This is largely due to them. So we are excited to be able to celebrate this. And so we have plans to put this on the banner on the website. And it will, of course, occur in some other places as well. So that's some of the artwork that we will use to celebrate. But just down below, you can see the colors and the names of the districts that we had. And you can see the schools that were part of those various districts and how the consolidation worked. And so then the next slide will take us to, again, in 1971 and 72, the colors that were adopted at that time were forest green and gold. The mascot for the district was the Fighting Eagle, and the fight song was Across the Field, which also happens to be the fight song for Ohio State. But I believe it was in 1982, don't quote me, but I believe it was in 1982, a few changes were made, and so we do, the Golden Eagles became the mascot for the district, and the fight song changed at that point in time to Stand Up and Cheer. And so, and I believe that was part of one of the districts before, but some words were changed to reflect both schools coming together. And now, of course, we have 3 or 4 years ago, the board officially approved the school colors, which are Hunter Green and Athletic Gold. So those are our colors now. And then just on the very last slide that we have here, we have the alma mater and the fight song that Madison Plains High School utilizes today. And so we are very excited about celebrating our 50th anniversary of our first graduating class from Madison Plains High School. It is a wonderful thing, and we will be looking to promote that as we go through the year.
Cool, nice. Very cool.
Appreciate you doing that. I think celebrating our history is a good thing. Trying to get people to pass levies, you know, what we have in common, good qualities, the more we promote that, it's a good thing. So thank you.
Okay. We will move to policy and governance.
Madam President, just a few items here before you this evening. Annually, we approve bus stops. We are required to do that by through Ohio Revised Code, and so that is there for you this evening.
Bless you.
We have a resolution of our intent not to offer career and technical education in grades 7 through 8. Again, that is a routine thing that we do every year. We do not offer technical education in grades 7 and 8. We do offer it at the high school, but we are required by the Ohio Department of Education to pass a resolution if we don't do that. And so that resolution is before you this evening. Upon approval of the resolution, I will submit the necessary paperwork to ODE to get that taken care of. The Madison Plains Student Parent Handbook is before the board this evening for approval, as is a slightly updated copy of the Athletic Handbook. Again, those are basically cosmetic changes, just reflecting the new administrators and just kind of prettying the book up a little bit, but the Athletic Handbook is before you. There is a board policy before you this evening, use of face coverings, policy EBEA. That is essentially the same policy that we have had. I just tweaked it a little bit to make it appropriate for the fact that at this point in time, masks are not required in buildings. So it simply is applicable when they are, or where they are, if they were needed on school, as they are required on school buses right now, it would be appropriate there. But so that is that. And then just the COVID-19 protocols that I went through before. So, Madam President, Madam Vice President, members of the board, that is all I have for policy and governance this evening.
Madam President, I make a motion that upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board approve policy and governance items K2 through K7.
Second.
Discussion? Roll call, please.
Mr. Stone Rock?
Yes.
Ms. Ryan Shelley?
Yes.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Mrs. Senecas?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Okay, moving to business.
Madam President and members of the board, just a few items for you there. There is a contract for Invo Healthcare Associates, and then there is a contract before you for the operator of record for a water operator for the district.
Who would like to make the motion?
Madam President, I'd like to make a motion that upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board approve personnel items. Business items L2 and L3.
Second.
Discussion? Roll call, please.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Ms. Ryan Shelley?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Mr. Stone Rock?
Yes.
Mrs. Zinnikas?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Okay, now we're moving to personnel.
Madam President, a few items before the board there this evening. There is a motion to award supplemental contracts for some teachers, and then there is a motion to correct one of the motions that we had on a previous agenda for one of the teachers that we hired this summer. Just need to correct years of experience and education levels, basically. And so motion there to correct that, and then two motions to approve extended day contracts for two of our administrative staff for some extra work that they seem to be doing on a regular routine basis that is not covered by the contract that they currently have. Okay.
Madam President, I make a motion that upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board approve personnel items M2 through M5.
Second.
Discussion? Roll call, please.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Stone Rock?
Yes.
Ms. Ryan Shelley?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Mrs. Senecas?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Okay, we have no donations this month. And no new business, nothing new. And we do not have an executive session this evening. So with that, our next meeting is scheduled for Tuesday, September 21st. 7 p.m. right here in this room.
Madam President, I make a motion that the board adjourn at 7:47 p.m.
Second.
Discussion? Roll call, please.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Ms. Ryan Shelley?
Yes.
Mr. Stone Rock?
Yes.
Mrs. Zinnikas?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0. We're adjourned.
Thank you.